are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
What an exciting weekend it's been. Here at Joy, we've had our membership class going, our small group actually, and we've had our Shape seminar yesterday all day, and we had our beautiful water baptism this morning. There's life here. There's life here at Joy. I love it. It's so inspirational. Well, this morning I want to take you to Romans chapter 12, and I want to talk to you about knowing the will of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. I just want to focus on two verses this morning, and I want to talk about how you can check to see whether the will of God is foremost in your life. So starting at verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. By God's will, all things are accomplished, and he stands behind everything." Hudson Taylor said this, God's will done in God's way will not lack God's support. I like that. God's will done in God's way will not lack God's support. The will of God should stand at the forefront of our lives as believers. As believers in Christ, doing God's will should have priority over everything else in our lives. Jesus demonstrated over and over how the will of his heavenly Father had absolute priority in his life. And even though God willed the cross for his son Jesus, it was Christ's choice to accept it. We might assume that because Jesus was God's son, that doing his Father's will was an automatic yes. No, it was a struggle. And we see that in Luke chapter 22, verse 43. We see his humanity and that he had to seek God's will when he prayerfully cried out, "Not my will, Lord, but yours be done," knowing that the cross was before him. By God's will, Christ died for us, and our salvation is the result of God's will. And so we see the significance of knowing the will of God and how important it is every day to check to see whether the will of God is foremost in our lives. And as I read these two verses and I meditate on them, I realized there was a four-step process in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, to help us to know what is this good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, and how can I make it a priority in my life today. So I look at verse 1, and I see that step 1 is dedication. You give God your body. That's step one. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." And we see that before we trusted in Christ, we used our bodies for sinful pleasures and purposes. And that we, now that we belong to him, we want to use our bodies to glorify him. As we yield our bodies to Christ, he wills to continue God's work through us. And the word "offer" here means to present once and for all, saying, I realize right now, today, that I need to give of myself afresh so that I am holy and pleasing before God. We think that because we're saved, that comes automatically. It doesn't. It's a choice every day. And that's what that word offer means. It commands a definite commitment to our bodies, to the Lord each day. And this commitment displays our willingness to respond to all God has done for us and to experience worship as we yield our bodies to him. And so he's saying that I'm asking you to live with a holy mindset about how and what I've created your body to be. Only when we surrender to God will the world be powerless to squeeze us into its own mold. I see as well in verse 2, step 2, and that is separation. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And separation is where we choose not to conform to the world and its systems and its belief systems and its attitudes or its demands from us culturally. There is a call and an expectation that because we have experienced the mercy of God and have experienced through the mercy of God a touch of this divine love. And that mercy is this divine love that captivated our hearts and brought us into a realization that we needed to be loved by a Savior who gave his life for us. And through the grace that he offers, that compassion, that mercy of God continues to help us to be consecrated, to be separated, to remain godly, to actually make a decision that when we're challenged, and we will be, when we're tempted, oh, we will be, when we're tested, yes, we will be, when those things occur, we make a decision to be separated, to be set apart, reserved for God. You know when you have parking lots and you have all these signs? I go and I pull into the bank and I sometimes pull into the wrong place and it says it's reserved for the clerk or reserved for the manager. Well, we should wear a reserve sign to let the enemy know, no, this belongs to him. You can't park in this space. Amen? You're not going to park in this space. So I'm really encouraging you to have this mindset that you're reserved for God, that you don't belong to this world, and that God has set you apart through his grace by his mercy. The less we are conformed to the world, its ways, its customs, its lusts, its values, its goals, the more we're able to present ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice. And in the day in which we're living, to actually tell other people that we choose to be holy, we're mocked for that. We're actually looked upon by people in society who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. They look at that and say, that's not how we do life. Or what they do is, because you don't behave in the way they behave, they exclude you from activities, family functions, and other things, because you don't. They want to do what they're going to do. I know that to be true because I experienced that with my own family. I have the title called pastor. So when you're going into a family function, I don't even announce that Pastor James is here. To my family, I'm James. But they know what I stand for. And so because they know what I stand for, I miss out on a lot of opportunity. But really, is it opportunity? Did you hear what I said? The enemy wants us to believe we're missing out. But really, we're not. We're gaining greater from the one who preserved us. Wow. It's a totally different way of thinking when you're separated. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, "Character is always lost when a high idea is sacrificed on the altar of conformity and popularity." We are living in an age of conformity. And so it's very wise to make a decision that I'm reserved for him. Say that with me. I'm reserved for him. Amen. You're not welcome to park in my parking lot. Amen. We see in verse 2, step 3 as well. It says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So step 1 is I'm the dedication of myself. Step 2 is I'm the separation of myself. I'm not conforming to the world. And step 3 is I'm choosing an ongoing transformation. I have chosen that I'm engaging, right? We're engaging this year. I'm engaging in this process of transformation where my mind is being renewed on a daily basis. The world wants you to change your mind. The world argues, batters, and comes at you with all these ideas and philosophies and teachings and intellectualism and higher intellectualism to say that what you're thinking is archaic. What you're thinking, because it's biblical, is not relevant today, when it's the most relevant thought you could have. And so the transforming of the mind means that we're not giving in to how the world exerts its pressure to tell me I'm going to conform the way I think and what I believe and what I believe God's calling me to be. I'm not going to give in to that nor submit to that. But the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit has an ability to change our minds. He has an ability to release this inner power at the time where we're in crisis of thinking, where we're about to give in to the world's way of thinking, or to give in to the enemy's taunting of our character in Christ, to give in to our lifestyle, because our lifestyle does not represent the world. Doesn't mean we're better. It just means we have Jesus. That's all it means. We're not better. We have Christ. And so we choose to live differently. And we have a different mindset. And so the Spirit of the Lord comes and releases this power every day. How does he do it? Through your time in prayer, through the meditation of the word, through reading the word, by praying the word, by journaling the word, by asking the Lord that what scripture today could really help me stay on task, stay focused on you, and allow the Spirit to move in, through, and with me so that I can be, as Eric was praying, a light and salt. That's what sets us apart. And so when the Spirit comes, this ongoing transformation is happening in our minds all the time. And so he encourages us, Paul encourages us to be transformed in our thinking. If the world controls your thinking, then you are a conformer. But if the Spirit controls your mind, then you are a transformer. I want to be a transformer. It is God's will to renovate, to bring restoration and a freshness to your mind every day. Every day. The mind here in this scripture, when you read about the renewing of your mind, that one word mind actually constitutes your your intellect, your understanding, your feelings, and your will. It's not just your thinker. And so that's what that word mind actually means here. Greg Laurie, pastor of Harvest Church in Riverside, California, was having lunch with the Reverend Billy Graham. And Ruth, Billy's wife, had made a classic Southern lunch of fried chicken, collard greens, and the whole works. And it was Greg's first time meeting the Reverend Billy Graham, and he was really nervous. And Greg says that I had many questions swimming around in my mind, but one question stood out. Reverend Graham, he asked, if you knew as a younger preacher what you now know today, would you emphasize anything more as a younger preacher that you find yourself emphasizing today? And without missing a beat, Billy Graham responded, I would preach the more on the cross and on the precious blood of Jesus. That is where the power is. And this is the only way a person's life can be transformed. By the cross, through the blood, and the power in the name of Jesus. Billy Graham. What a great story. J. Rodman Williams said this. He said, without the continuous renewing of the mind, we lack that culminating proof of God's will. We want God's will? Then each day we need to surrender our thinking. Each day we need to surrender our wills. Each day we need to surrender our feelings. That's where a lot of us get caught up, is with the feelings. Because my feelings often determine my choices and what I think. And that's why that word renewing of the mind includes the will, the intellect, and the feelings. Because Paul understood that how people thought, how people felt, and what people decided and chose to do. He himself had struggled with those things himself. And so he really understood we need living proof each day from God that he is willing us to do the things we are doing. The will of God is clearest to those whose minds are continually being renewed. Amen? So if you want to know the will of God, get in the Word of God. You want to know the Word of God? Wait on God. You want to know the will of God? Pray the Word of God. You want to know the will of God for you? Give over your emotional whatever and give over your thinking and give over your will. And God will move in a fresh way and confirm what he's requiring of you, what he wants you to do. We see the fourth step in this ability to discern and know God's will. The first step was the dedication. We see that right here. Dedication, you give God your body, verse 1. The second step is separation. You chose not to conform to this world, verse 2a. And then transformation, you give God your mind, and that's verse 2b. And then demonstration, you give God your will so you can discern his will. That is such a hard thing for me to do. I struggle at times to say what Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Ooh, sometimes that just hurts. You know what I mean? When I know what I want and I want what I want and I know what I want and I can't have what I want, I begin to convince God that his will, he's off on his will. He's missed it. There have been times where I've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for specific things to happen, and there's been no movement. And so I tell God, if you're having a rough day, let me take care of this. Hey, come on. Let's be real. At least I'm being real. Maybe you don't do that. If you don't, God bless you. Because I've run into many brick walls because I've thought that way. So we're in a situation here at Joy. And we've been praying now, it will be a year in March, for a worship pastor. Right? And behind the scenes, we've done all the things you should be doing to hire somebody. Everything. And then a lot much more. And so I'm saying, hey, you asked me to do this, I did that. You asked me to do this, I did that. Then you told me to go back and try this, I did that. And then somebody else suggested this, I listened to that. I thought, yeah, that's a good idea. And then we rearranged this and we still don't have our worship pastor. God's will be done. God's timing is God's timing. And so you have to dedicate that. You have to separate how the world does hiring to what God does to hire. Because it's a call on somebody's life, not a position you're hiring somebody to, right? And then the transformation is, I'm kind of fed up with this, Lord. I know you don't have those attitude issues. I'm kind of fed up with this, Lord. I'm frustrated with this, Lord. So I'm going to try something new again. And he's just sitting up there going, here he goes. Keep going, James. You tired yet? And so then he says, give me your will. Give me your method. Give me your thinking about what you're good at and you're competent in, and I'm even greater than your competency. Right? So I'm asking you to demonstrate to me, James, not your will, but my will be done in this matter. Excuse me. So that I can discern the will of the Lord. So just pulling back a little curtain for you to see the reality of these steps in my life today. I'm not preaching something that I want you to do. I'm preaching something I'm learning to do. Amen? And that's really important. And so with demonstration, you give God your will, and so you can discern his will. I like what Warren Wiersbe said. He said, your mind controls your body, and your will controls your mind. I never saw it that way before. Your will controls your mind. And it's only when we yield our will to God that his power will take over and allow us to overcome our impatience, our frustration, our frustration with no answer, no direction, an ability to trust at a whole new level, and a willingness to pray for an increased faith to hold steady until God moves. Test and approve. It really encourages us. It says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so this test and approve means we prove by practice in everyday life that God's will is good, is acceptable, and is perfect. But what does Paul mean? His will is good, and his will is acceptable, and his will is perfect. Well, what Paul is talking about is he's saying, I want you to make it a priority to know the benefits of God. That's the good of God. The benefits of God. When you obey the will of God, when you're seeking the will of God, there are so many benefits spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and relationally in our lives. It's amazing. And then he talks about acceptable. And what's he saying? You're agreeing with. You're agreeing with and you're pleased with God's ability to actually minister his will in your life. So you're actually in this relationship where your heart is worshipful. Your heart is in agreement. You've come into submission even when you don't receive the answer you thought you deserved. That's a process, wouldn't you say? But that's a demonstration of faith at that moment. So then we have what God has said is pleasing, and then the perfect will of God. And this is where his will causes us to actually grow mentally and morally in character. Listen, grow mentally and morally in character to allow us to discern. So there's this perfecting process going on continuously, where God's always bringing our thoughts and our spirits and our desires into submission with his will. During World War II, there was a U.S. Marine, and he was separated from his unit on this specific Pacific island. And this specific, Pacific, no, on this island. I'll find it. And the fighting had been intense. And in the smoke and in the crossfire, he had lost touch with his comrades. Alone in the jungle, he could hear enemy soldiers coming in his direction. Scrambling for cover, he found his way up this high ridge to several small caves in the rock. Quickly, he crawled inside one of the caves. Although safe for the moment, he realized that once the enemy soldiers looking for him swept up the ridge, they would quickly search all the caves and he would be killed instantaneously. And as he waited, he prayed, "Lord, if it be your will, please protect me. Whatever you will, though, I will always love you and always trust you. Amen." After praying, he lay quietly listening to the enemy begin to draw closer to the cave. He thought, "Well, I guess the Lord isn't going to help me out on this one." Then he saw a spider drop down before the cave. The spider began to build a web over the front of the cave. And as he watched, listening to the enemy searching for him all the while, the spider layered strand after strand of web across the whole opening of the cave. He thought, "What I need is a brick wall, and what the Lord has sent me is a spider web." Boy, does the Lord have a good sense of humor. As the enemy drew closer, he watched from the darkness of his hideout and could see them searching one cave after another. And as they came to his, he got ready to make his last stand. To his amazement, however, after glancing in the direction of his cave, they actually moved on. Suddenly he realized that with the spider web over the entrance of his cave, they thought that no one would have entered it for a long, long time. "Lord, forgive me," prayed the young man. "I forgot that in you, a spider's web is stronger than a brick wall." You see, sometimes in the will of God, we question the outcome. We question God's execution of the plan of action. And we believe that even when we've prayed and even when we've had faith, it's just not going to be our turn. And God has showed this young man that it was his perfect will, and his perfect will was a spider web, despite what he had thought would save his life. Charles Swindoll, from his book, The Mystery of God's Will, says he gives us the kind of following insight of how we can know, how we can discern the will of God. And he says to us, God will always lead you through his written word. You can trust the written word. God will always lead you through the inner promptings of his Holy Spirit. And God will always choose to lead you with the counsel of wise, qualified, trustworthy people. And God will always lead you in his will by giving you an inner assurance of his peace. If you want to know how to discern and know the will of God, apply those things to your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this four-step process that you revealed to my heart and how you're calling us to assess whether the will of God is a priority in our lives. I understand, Lord, that just knowing your will is not enough for me. But Lord, you're asking us to put your will into practice in every aspect of my life, our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you want us in this process of dedication and separation and transformation and demonstration, that as we seek to know your will, you will give us your answer, your direction, your guidance as we seek you. Lord, we pray that you will help us in the coming days, Lord, not to take matters in our own hands. Lord, that we will allow your word and prayer and waiting on your Spirit and seeking wise counsel to allow us to discern and make your will a priority in our lives. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have an opportunity to
thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.